From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show. Super excited today. We are going to be talking about the Backyard Advantage, but one specific aspect of the backyard, Elk Grove, the city of. It is one of the most valuable towns in our region, and I think if you've been listening to the show over the last year, we've been talking about the most valuable towns in Sacramento, in the Sacramento region. We've had Rockland, Roseville, Folsom. We've had a few counties, I think Yolo, Placer County, and a few, El Dorado Hills. So we've been doing this for a while. And I've been waiting for Elk Grove because I've had these two guys that are coming on the show today have been on the show before at different times. We have Mr. Daryl Doan. He runs economic development for the city. And we have Darren Suen. Now, are you still a city council member, Darren?
I am.
You are.
Mark,
okay.
Yeah,
you were on the show how long ago? You're still a city council. They don't kick you off after a while?
I figure that's like my career, Mark. I don't go very far.
I mean, as a guy running economic development that's an employee, you know, you expect that guy to be there for a while, but the city council doesn't turn over?
Yeah, it does once in a while. But, you know, I mean, that's one of the... So to answer your question, yes, I'm still on the council. I was gratefully to be reelected this past election cycle.
Nice.
10 years I've been on there, so I'm up for 4 more years. And I think, Daryl, I think you and I started around the same time.
10 years.
So, and since, you know, we're just talking in about these things, you know, continuity of leadership is something that I think was really awesome to see for our city. You know, just having a council that just works really well together in the history of the city. We have a great council right now, great mayor, but we've had it. I mean, for the last at least 10 years that I know of. And so I think it's a lot of part of that recipe to you're talking about being in your backyard and what makes things great about cities. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, everything's a leadership issue, whether you're building a small business, you're building a city, you're building a country, you need great leaders if you want to have a great outcome. How would you, Daryl, describe the leadership? Okay, Darren talked a little bit about the history, but today's leadership as compared to, you know, yesterday's.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Darren and I have been there for 10 years, about the same time. Our city manager started almost exactly the same time I did. And that's an important part of the continuity story too, right? I mean, you know, I sort of equate, you know, government is a business. Right, we're not a for-profit private corporation. We're a nonprofit municipal corporation, and like any business, you need a strong board of directors. And then for us, that is our city council, and we serve our shareholders. Our shareholders are our residents, our taxpayers. So, you know, having people like Darren and Kevin Spies also, who have been serving for a while now, is a critical part of that continuity. And then, you know, bringing in new, young, fresh voices like Sergio Robles and Rod Brewer really adds to the mix. So we have great sort of what we call cognitive diversity, mm-hmm. as well as just diversity.
Yeah, yeah.
But on that council, and then of course, you know, Bobby Singh, being the force of nature that she is, kind of wrangles all the cats. But you know, I've worked all around the country, big cities, small cities, East Coast, West Coast. Right, this is my fifth city. I've never seen a stronger relationship between councils and among count, right? It doesn't matter who the council is. They really do work in the best interest of the city and our residents and our businesses. You don't see a lot of the, you know, I'll say some things that Darren probably can't say, but if you look at other cities, right, you see a lot of political decisions being made that aren't always in the best interests of our shareholders. But our council residents, our council, almost exclusively makes the right decision, even if it's not in their personal best interests. And when there are differences, they don't spill out onto the dais. And that's critical. That sends a message to businesses that we are stable.
I've often thought that a city manager's job is like one of the most difficult jobs in the world, because you have to know so much. I mean, it is a business, and there's so much in the business. There's also the political side that you have to manage at some level. You've got a board of directors that you have to manage at some level, but it's, but how they, a city manager thinks on their feet in these, what can be kind of stressful situations at city council meetings. You get challenged at times.
The city manager is the CEO, right? And he's, he or she is a political appointee, and that's a difficult position. You got five crazy bosses like Darren and his friends. And so you've got to keep them equally, You've got to treat them equally. You've got to make sure everybody has the same information, but you also have to, I think the key job of a city manager, maybe more than anything, is telling council members sometimes what they don't want to hear. Like, that's not the right path. I know that seems like the expedient thing to do now, but that would foreclose on opportunities in the future. And so you have to be willing to speak truth to power, and you have to do that without fear of repercussions of, you know, losing your, the average tenure of a city manager is probably 3 or 4 years. Our city manager, Mr. Jason Behrman, has been there for 10 years, coming up on 10 years. And he is spectacular. He's the best city manager I've seen and worked for. And I think his longevity is proof to the fact that he really manages the job well.
Well, I think of Elk Grove as maybe the best place to grow a business. I mean, I'm here in Rockland, which has got really good leadership as well. Business friendly, entrepreneurial friendliness to it. But Elk Grove is kind of like at another level compared to everything else in the Sacramento region, in my opinion. And we can talk about some of that specifically. Yeah, I mean, I say that. I love you, Roseville, Rockland, Folsom.
Yes, love I love you them guys. Too.
But sometimes some things stand out from even a distance, right? I don't live in Elk Grove. I'm sitting here, 30, 40 miles away and going, wow, what you guys are doing for entrepreneurs all across the region is really special. We'll get into a little bit of that in a second, but I'm kind of wondering, you mentioned Kevin. He was on the show with you a couple years back.
Yeah.
He's an entrepreneur, if I remember right. He owns a business. Is the council... It's really business friendly. Is that where it starts, or is it kind of incorporated through management?
It does start with that. I mean, as policymakers, you know, you have to have that business mindset, right? If you're not a business, you're come spills out into the policies you adopt and the conversations that you have with your city manager, like Daryl was alluding to. And so I think from the get-go, you know, you mentioned all these things now, and it's interesting, you know, I'm looking at your sports paraphernalia in the background, right? It's like any team, right, that, you know, nobody notices them till they start winning a series of games, right? And they do it over time and become a dynasty. 10 years ago and beyond, Elk Grove was known as what? Sprawl. It was known as, you know, farmland, too close to, you know, like better. Well, that's what they would say, South Sacramento. I mean, it was in a negative connotation, right? And that's what they talked about. We put our heads down and we did our thing. You know, the very first day. With Daryl's leadership too, we adopted that day one permitting for small businesses, right? Even before me, there was always pro law enforcement in terms of public safety, right? I mean, not talking about abuses and all that kind of stuff. It's like, hey, help people accountable, keep our citizens safe, keep our businesses safe so they can operate, people can shop. So these fundamental things, I'll call them enabling conditions, is what that philosophy started, you know, since the incorporation and has continued on. And that's what I was alluding to about continuity of leadership, right? Yeah. Even before me, right? There, Pat Hume, Steve Detrick, you know, a long time ago, there's a lot of things that started, and, you know, thankfully we continued and kept going. And along those lines, I think we worked closely with the city manager, with city staff. Daryl talked about these inconvenient truths that sometimes they have to present to the council. And if you're not willing as a leader, if you're not willing to engage your staff on an equal level, right? It's our decision, but if we're not listening to the professionalism and the experience that staff have, because we're not living this thing, most people aren't living this work day to day, right? So if we're not considering that information seriously, we may make, you know, rash decisions that are not in rooted in fact or experience. So I think all of that coupled together over a period of time, now you're starting to see things. In fact, I think when we were on here, we probably touted the Civic Center and you know, District 56, right? We probably touted the planning of it, but it wasn't built yet. Now it's the Aquatic Center, right? All that it's built is thriving, and you know, we're just continuing to move on better things, and like the zoo, I'm sure you'll talk about, but stuff yeah. like that. So anyway, that's the recipe, right? We have a great cohesive team at the council level who works very well with the staff, and we've done it over a long period of time.
Enabling these conditions, that's really, I like the way you phrase that, but you're also proactive. So I want to talk a little bit about the business, and then we'll talk about like quality of life and that kind of thing. So from an enabling of business, of course, Apple decided to locate there. Other people are opening up business there, but you've created the nice conditions, but you guys are writing checks to entrepreneurs. Like, I'm sitting here going, that's impressive. And you're not only doing that, you're doing that. And you're helping businesses even outside of Elk Grove, which is really special. So yeah. Can you elaborate on like the kinds of things that you do proactively?
Yeah, we do write some checks. We do that very carefully because it's taxpayer money. But yeah, Darren and I were talking about this. We've built one of, if not the best set of business support programs, incentives, right, is what we call them in my business, probably in the state. We have programs to support culinary arts. We have programs to support startups. We have programs to support Main Street small businesses. We have a fee deferral program because fees are high in California, and we recognize that. I mean, you put all that in the wash, and we have programs that will support large tax generating businesses. And we're not afraid, you know, so a lot of cities just don't have those programs. And I you know, through my travels in the state, I encourage cities, like, you should have those kinds of programs. It gets you into conversations. It can help close deals when you're trying to attract companies. It can help keep companies in town. Our number one job is not business attraction, it's business retention. And we use those programs as much to help our existing businesses and keep them thriving and expand them than we do attracting. Attracting business gets all the headlines.
We were talking a little bit earlier about this small company in Baltimore that you used to be in Baltimore area, and the city was a little bit reluctant to help this young company, but somehow you got it done. And maybe just give us that brief story, because to me it's inspiring and it's what can be.
Yeah, it's a good story. I'll try not to embellish it too much. So yeah, I was director of economic development for the city of Baltimore for about 6 years. And so a lot of cities are reluctant to create these financial incentive programs, right? They're afraid of blowback from residents, or just, you know, that's a misappropriation of taxpayer dollars. We should be filling potholes with that money. Well, yeah, you should be doing that stuff. But if you have these kinds of programs, you're in a position to invest. And I don't mean the kind of investing you do, right? I mean non-recourse cash money for a company that has a great concept and needs a little jumpstart and is looking to their local government, as well as traditional financial institutions and equity investors, for just that little piece. And so we had a company, we had two young men in Baltimore who were working out of their mother's row house in her basement. So there's row houses in Baltimore. We have basements on the East Coast. We don't have either one of those.
What's a row house?
Yeah, exactly. It's a three-story townhouse and it's got a basement. And they were down there and they had developed this patented fabric that was moisture wicking, right? And they had a prototype t-shirt. And they came to the economic development department and they said, you know, we know you have these business programs. Would you give us a loan to help us advance from prototype to some early stage manufacturing and start really selling this product and bringing in some customers? You know, a lot of people, even within my own building, thought that was nuts. Like, of all the things we're going to give money to, what, t-shirts? Like, what are we doing here, right? And then I had council members saying the same thing, like, t-shirts, nothing sexy about that. Long story short, I mean, we got the loan made. It converted to a grant, and so the city of Baltimore became the first investor, if you will, in a little company that grew up to be Under Armour, right? This huge garment and sports behemoth in that space, rivaling Nike and Adidas and all these other companies. And it's a good lesson in that, you know, if you have a vision and you have programs and you have entrepreneurship and you combine those three things and you take a little risk, a little calculated risk, even with some taxpayer money, you can have, you can invest at the earliest stages in a company and develop that loyalty. And Under Armour is still in Baltimore. They could have left many times. In fact, right, you know, just recently they're building a huge new campus in South Baltimore, and they really are sort of this anchor of that economy and probably the best company in terms of brand for that city. And it all started with just a conversation and a little incentive and a little belief, and that's very much what we do in economic development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think people get skeptical about believing in loyalty and commitment and things like that, but obviously they exist, they're real. Oh, yeah. and they can have, they can pay huge dividends back to the investor along the way. So it's a great story. I've been impressed with what you're building in Elk Grove. Okay, let's just talk about a little bit of overarching Elk Grove. We don't have to like stay right down the business channel, because mm-hmm. I think really what makes a community great is it's more than just the business community. It's the quality of life. Is it a great place to live? Is it, you know, what opportunities are there? So thinking about that, you brought up sports, and I'm a Niner fan, and so I like to go down to Levi's and go to games, and we typically don't go through Elk Grove coming from here. We take a different direction. So how far is it from Elk Grove to Levi's? How long does it take? I'm just trying to bring this in geographically for everybody, because you guys are pretty far south, and you're pretty convenient to the Silicon Valley.
Yeah, but you're still probably a couple hours.
Couple hours,
say.
2 hours,
yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like 3 to 3.5 from here, depending on whether how you hit traffic.
Well, if you take out traffic, right, you're looking, it's about, don't quote me on this, about 75 miles.
Guys?
From Elk Grove, yeah.
Wow,
and
okay.
So, you know, up over the Altamont and down through there, right? So, yeah, we have great locational advantages for residents and workers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and we're building commuter rail connectivity to the Silicon Valley on something called the ACE train, the Altamont Commuter Express. So that's going to connect Elk Grove to downtown San Jose and hit places like Livermore, Pleasanton, Fremont.
Is that a train? Get on the train?
Yeah, it's a heavy rail. Train.
Yeah, we got a federal grant, and they're building one in Sacramento as well, but Elk Grove also has a platform.
We are a stop. So downtown Sacramento will be connected by daily commuter rail to downtown San Jose. That is huge.
That is.
Right? And you mentioned Apple, right? So the platform is literally less than a mile to the Apple campus. So we'd love to recruit some of those engineers from Apple to come this way.
Yeah. How much is Elk Grove sort of a commuter city into the Bay Area or Silicon Valley Bay Area? Do a lot of people just make that commute?
Yeah, a lot of people do, more than you would think. And it's because of relative affordability of housing, right? I mean, if you look at when you do an affordability comparisons, things like cable and groceries and gasoline, they're typically all the same in California. Too high, in my opinion, but typically all the same. It's the housing cost that is the driver. So our new assistant city manager, Jackie Guzman, is a good example of this. Yeah. She was in the Bay Area working for the city of Sunnyvale. The average, the median home price in the entire Bay Area is something like $1.6 or $1.7 million, right? The median home price in Elk Grove is $680,000. Now, that's higher than we'd like it for a lot of people, and it's gone up, but it is still a relative bargain.
What can you get for $680,000 in Elk Grove? Do we get like a 4-bedroom, 3-bath?
Yeah.
In a maybe a production home type scenario?
A newly built 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 3,500 square feet on a 5,000 square foot lot.
Sounds like it's pretty similar to Rockland.
It is.
You know, it's not that dissimilar. Oh, yeah.
The entire region is a bargain, you know? That's why we call ourselves the California option. You know, and we're part of the region, right? And and so, you know, you're not attracting businesses or residents, and they're one and the same, honestly, from an economic development perspective, without a thriving, high-functioning region. And I think we are building that in Sacramento. It really starts there. Guys like you and what you're doing with entrepreneurship, and groups like GSEC and groups like SACOG that are doing the planning. Like, we really are starting to emerge as this major league city.
Is Elk Grove growing right now?
Oh, yeah.
I thought so, because, I mean, a lot of bigger cities are, you know, shrinking. Even California, I think, might be shrinking at some level. But Elk Grove and Sacramento generally, I think, might be growing a little bit. But certain parts of our region are getting better growth than others. I think Placer County has done pretty well.
I think the suburbs, right? Okay. For that quality of life you were talking about earlier.
That's right. Yeah, we're 178,000.
Oh, wow. Okay. How big is Roseville? Are you guys bigger than Roseville?
Roseville's about 130?
140, maybe.
I don't know. I'm going to get close to 40. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Melissa, if you're listening, if I got that number wrong. We're bigger than Roseville. Yeah. We're the second largest city in the capital region.
Yeah. Okay, what's the largest? Sacramento?
Sacramento, yeah. Okay. But yeah, 178,000. When we incorporated in 2000, we were about 60,000 people. Then we did a couple of annexations. And then on top of that, you know, there's a lot of cities are under fire for not meeting their sort of state mandated housing needs, right? Mm-hmm. You're not building enough housing. We build a lot of housing, both market rate and affordable. Partly that's demand driven, but you still have to be a city that's willing to permit the supply side. And that is really driving our growth.
And that gets back to what I was saying earlier. 10 plus years ago, everybody just said, hey, you're sprawl, Elk Grove. And now fast forward, it's like, where is the housing? Well, we've been building housing, right? It's kind of interesting to me how, you know, what was a criticism back in the day is now like, you know, it's an asset or a compliment.
Yeah, it's an asset because we don't have enough in California.
Yeah, which is the market, right? Just to be clear for any policy wonks out there, right? It's nobody is meeting the state mandated affordable housing. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, that's a whole other conversation.
But. Not everybody likes the growth. Not everybody likes the housing. We were sprawling. And I think under current leadership with guys like Darren and guys like our city manager, Jason Behrman, and myself, I think we've been a lot smarter than we've ever been about how we grow. So now it's not just housing. We're carving out entire areas for commercial uses. We just annexed, a couple years ago, 400 acres in town. That's all industrial and manufacturing. We are smart about managing our growth and making sure it's balanced between commercial and residential and then amenities. We have a high focus right now in amenities.
Yeah, I remember you brought up the zoo, you brought up sports complexes. I remember my sister-in-law, just way back when, playing softball there, and we'd always go to Elk Grove and watch her play softball, competitive softball. But now with this growth, what else is there? Because I don't go to Elk Grove that often, so...
Yeah.
What do you got? I know you guys got a casino there.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to have Wilton on there.
You should.
For sure. And Boy Gaming.
Great partners.
They've got, great partners. They got a lot of exciting things they're planning as well. So it just complements what we're doing right? But Project Elevate is something that we're excited about, a mixed use, high end retail project. That is also that I think. You know, we're talking about it today. Hopefully the next time we come on, it'll be built too. But
that's in the planning stages.
It's in the planning stages. But more of that experience, that sense of place, you know, having some place to go.
What about from like a destination standpoint? What's going to make me from, 30 minutes away, 45 minutes away, drive out there? Is the zoo that good? Should I come see the zoo?
Oh, it will be that good. Yeah.
Okay. Did I hear this one in Sacramento is going to close? I don't know if I heard that right.
That's the one where it's moving. So yeah, they were losing the certifications for the animals and
So is it moving to Elk Grove?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the whole thing.
You stole it.
We didn't steal it.
We were open to opportunity.
We're meeting a need.
Respectfully convinced that Elk Grove was a good value proposition. The decision was theirs. We don't steal. We don't poach, but we are open to opportunities and discussions, and that's kind of how that started.
Okay, so destination-wise, you mentioned aquatics. So big might go there to see
the Junior
swimming.
Olympics go there. They've been there, three times now? The Bill Rose Classic.
Okay.
It gets a lot of excitement all the time. Sports teams, and funny, we were talking to sports. A friend of mine highlighted this to me, is that per capita, Elk Grove is the biggest producer of Major League Baseball players.
That's right.
If you just
what?
Yeah, no, it's crazy, right?
Okay, so how do you track? That's an interesting stat because when I think of sports, I'm thinking like Bill Cartwright. I'm old, so I'm thinking Bill Cartwright, Lance Briggs.
Yeah, right.
Thinking of the people I know of from Elk Grove, but nowadays there's
Greg
a lot
Vaughn.
Of you guys have great baseball. Yeah, exactly. You guys have great baseball coming out of your, youth and high school programs.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, it's always been a great sports town. I mean, Eric Armstead on the Niners, right?
Niner guy.
And I know he claims Sacramento, but he's with schools in the Elk Grove area, but there's there's a lot of sports down there. I mean, obviously soccer is
motorsports.
Oh yeah, come on, Kyle. Yeah,
Kyle Larson, Joey Hand,
both big. For that guy.
Yeah,
it really. I mean, really, where that the genesis of all of that and so much of our success is a high performing school system.
Yeah,
right. You're not moving. Most residents of California are looking for free public school. You have a lot of choices because most cities have that. But we have one of the best school districts, 9 high-performing high schools, 7 or 8 high-performing middle schools, a whole bunch of elementary schools, these pathway programs that take students, you know, they teach them a trade in high school. So if you graduate and you're not college-bound, you can go into engineering, you can go into the building trades, you can be a chef. I mean, we have a great high school system and great facilities, and therefore we have great, as well as education, great sports teams.
That's back to leadership, really, when you think about it, because, I mean, you guys have a huge school system. You have 9 high schools?
5th largest in the state.
Well, I mean, it's like enormous, and then
6 are in the city, but 9 within the district.
Okay. Right?
Oh, that's true. That's true. The district does go outside of the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want to plug my buddy's son, Aiden Rollins, who's an up-and-coming basketball player for
Franklin. Are we plugging people now?
I'm going to plug
Franklin High School.
He's a standout.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, it's just...
What position does he play?
I think he's a... I think he's small forward.
Okay,
think,
when he goes pro, can we get him on the show, you think?
Oh.
We'll talk about winning.
Hey.
Is he going to go straight out of high school into the NBA? Is he that good?
He's already got recruited for colleges. And,
Well, if we're plugging kids, I'm going to plug Eric Doan.
Oh, okay. Eric, what's...
He's a 14-year-old, nationally ranked, top 5 in the country. A kart racer, so he is pursuing a career in motorsports.
I had no idea.
Top 5 in the country?
Awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. Must be due to his dad, his parents.
So you're a big dude. Okay, so how tall are you? You're
6'2".
6'2"? Okay. How big is your son?
Well, he's sprouting right now. He's 5'4". He just passed his mom.
Okay.
He'll probably be 5'11",
I'm thinking the kart racing is probably better for the guy that's not gigantic in the car, right?
We hope to have him in actual cars next year. So
yeah, that's awesome.
But the quality of life. I mean, providing these safe neighborhoods, affordable housing, places, you know, to shop and eat and all that. You have all these families wanting to go there and raise their families.
What's the best restaurant in Elk Grove?
Like, oh, man. I just got this question the other day.
Yeah.
It's restaurant week right now.
Yeah.
It is restaurant week right now.
Is there some that are like, they're known for like especially the independents, right? I think we all know the chains.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we got Sheldon Inn. We got Boulevard Bistro. We got Journey to Dumplings.
Journey to Dumplings is amazing. Kajikan is a new ramen place that is just off the hook. They do ramen differently. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Actually, there was an article.
What's different about it? I can only picture Top Ramen. When I think of ramen, I think of like, you know, the stuff you buy at the grocery store shelf.
That was your college
ramen. Right.
No, so, I mean, ramen is typically broth-based. This is a Japanese style of ramen called, don't quote, a Buddha soda or something like that, that is, it's oil and spice-based, so it's not in a soup.
Can I get a cocktail
or
is it pretty much no beer, wine, nothing? Yeah.
It's not that kind of place.
Okay.
You can get sake.
Okay.
Actually, there was an article in the Sacramento Bee maybe 3 weeks ago that... was all about Elk Grove's emergence as not only a culinary hotspot, but a hotspot of Asian culinary. The best Asian culinary scene in the Sacramento region is now Elk Grove.
Okay, so what's your favorite, Darren?
Oh boy, I mean, I got so many. I mean, you got raw sushi, Fujiya.
You guys have Makuni's out there too, don't you?
Makuni, but you're mentioning now chain.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it's still independent, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, he's Taro's branded, but it's a great place. Don't get me wrong, it's a great place. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton of Chinese restaurants as well, and Toto and Poco is a staple, you know, Mexican Italian fusion.
Oh, okay.
You know, Boulevard Bistro and Sheldon Inn.
Yeah, we've got this great, our culinary scene is really like we're hitting our stride, right? Finally, it's been a lot of work. We've always had this great sort of base of locally owned restaurants like the ones Darren are mentioning, Brick House, Toto and Poco, Sheldon Inn, Boulevard Bistro, that have kind of flied under the radar. And so we've been telling this story about how our consumer demographics, just from our resident base, but certainly our primary trade area, right? Yeah. Restaurants don't care about political boundaries, right? So they're looking at a bigger trade area than just Elk Grove. But our primary trade area, which is predominantly Elk Grove, is strong. Like our median household incomes, our ethnic diversity, our family size, it is strong. And we were not being rewarded until just really just recently with the types of high-end chef-driven, locally owned restaurants and also retail.
So in other words, people didn't notice that you guys have that demographic, so they weren't open up the business there.
They didn't notice, and the brokers, I think for, I'm not going to name any names, but you know, when I first got there, I had a conversation with a broker. I picked up the phone and I called the broker who represents Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. And I said, my God, I'm not going to say his name, but I said, my God, man, have you seen the consumer demographics in this town? Why is there not a Whole Foods in Elk Grove? Oh, Elk Grove. Well, you guys have, he said this to me. He said, you guys have Nordstrom money, but Walmart taste.
What?
And that pissed me off. And so that was kind of our reputation.
He knew you had then reasonably good incomes.
You would think he did.
That the taste, you said, right?
The taste. Yeah. That was our reputation among brokers when I That's took this odd. Job 10 years ago. And that did not sit well with me, right? And we worked hard for 5, 6, 7 years of just building and proselytizing this organic brand, telling our story, why we're a value proposition, why our residents in our community deserve higher end amenities. And now we're getting them.
Well, we have here in Placer County, we have the Galleria Mall, and people come from all around the region to come to the Galleria. Do you have like high end retail?
We're getting there. Okay. We're hitting our stride. We just got a Nordstrom. We just got a Macy's. We just got an Amazon Fresh.
Nice.
You know, Costco coming in. I know some of the, you know, Costco's more of a utilitarian brand, but what a company like Costco's by some measures, the largest retailer in the world, right?
They just opened up down the street and it's created, I mean, in the town of Loomis. Loomis has got like 6,000 people. We got a Costco.
Costco was a game changer for us. I forget the year. It was around 2018 that opened. And we had been pursuing Costco with a local developer called Pappas Investments for about 10 years. Yeah. And we convinced them to come, and the city provided a pretty significant subsidy to the developer, not to the company, mm-hmm. to make that work financially. When Costco comes into your town, they're a market validator, right? They help you plant your flag. If Costco, who has the best retail analytics of any company in the world, decides to put a store in your town, now you're on the map. Now brokers take notice, developers take notice, other retailers that follow Costco take notice, and they opened. Our Costco is 5 miles away from the next closest Costco, and that at the time that was the closest that two Costcos had ever been built. So what does that tell you about South Sacramento's and Elk Grove's and our entire region's demographics?
And I just got to give a shout out because Pappas Investments, right? It's on their property, but they also are bringing in Whole Foods on their property. I mean, they Nordstrom Rack as well.
Okay.
So you talk about partnerships, right? We talked about within the city, but our external partners, having the developers who also financially themselves believe in making that bet on our city.
Right. Yeah. And you think about the wealth creation that happens up and down the people that own the properties that are near there, maybe own some small commercial property, strip center, whatever near there. It's like, wow, everything goes up in value if you've got those kind of type of businesses within, you know, half a mile of you.
And we're not done on the retail front. And Pappas is an important part of this, but also others, right? We have a Whole Foods under construction right now. We have a Mendocino Farms. We have a Yard House. We have an REI. So those may not, you know, I think to some cities, like, you know, maybe a Roseville, it's like, big deal. We've had all that for years. We haven't.
That's a big deal.
We haven't. And we've worked hard to turn that tide. And now we're starting to see, now we're starting to run on the retail and the culinary side.
And if I could connect it all back to the community, we've got this great diverse community, the people that come from the Bay Area as well, bringing all those tastes, like they have that demand, right? Of the culinary that Daryl was talking about. Mm-hmm. And so of course, as a business owner, as a restaurateur, if you got people wanting the flavor of your food, you're going to go there. You're going to set up shop there, right? Everybody loves, not everybody, most people love sushi. So of course, sushi restaurants are going to pop up, but these more exotic flavors, you know, they're also coming because again, the residents are showing it. And that's what I love about it is like, you can, if you go to New York, if you go to San Francisco or whatever, you can experience all these different types of foods. And that's what I feel like it's coming to Elk Grove as well because of that diverse population who have diverse tastes.
Our diversity is off the charts. And we celebrate that, right? Not all cities celebrate that. A lot of times in suburban environments, in larger metro areas, your suburbs are pretty homogenous, pretty white. We are 40% Asian, just speaking broadly, 40% Asian, 30% white, 20% Hispanic, and 10% black. That is remarkable. And it's pretty integrated. You know, you go to a Raley's or a Bel Air on a Sunday and it's, doesn't matter the neighborhood you're in, you're seeing all those different kinds of folks.
Why,
so that creates this melting
Asian
pot.
Why that's I mean, that's a large percentage of Asian. What is there a reason? Did they cluster there around a certain industry or something? Well,
Darren, you better take that.
So I mean, was born and raised in Greenhaven Park area.
South Sac area,
yeah,
right?
South Sac area. Okay. And I discovered when I grew up, because I didn't know either, but back to the day where, you know, if you were Asian, Chinese in particular, you couldn't own property. My buddy who lives in Land Park, it's still on the deed. No Chinese allowed. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, but that, look, that's history. Things have evolved. Yeah. But then
still
the cluster. Yeah, well,
I didn't even hear about it.
I know. And look, through all that education for myself, my dad told me, like, when his uncle and him were buying a house in Southland Park area, it wasn't law, but it was still tradition. He'd knock on the people's doors and say, is it okay if we buy a house here? Like, that's the type of things that were happening. Because as a high school kid, right, and I'll date myself here, in the 80s, a high school kid, it was funny to me. I was like, how come all the Asian kids go to, like, Kennedy High School, huh? Right? Nobody, there's no, you know, Asian kids in Folsom, Roseville. It was not allowed a long time. There was a time where it was not allowed. So they clustered where, you know,
comfortable.
Well, not even comfortable, but also eventually when it was finally allowed, where was the housing development happening, right? It was just so happens it was happening down in that south.
Well, it's also a reflection of our region. Our region is very ethnically diverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Elk Grove in particular has, that is a huge part of our reputation and our value proposition, and we don't hide from it. We celebrate
it. Yeah, and just to finish that, growing up, right, when we moved back to the area, a lot of the community moved to Elk Grove. So there's a lot of Sacramento kids, right, that just grew up and moved there, coupled with, we're talking about Bay Area, I mean, the housing affordability, I think that just coincidentally, you know, brought more people.
Gotcha.
And so it's a really combination cool. of those things.
I mean, so what's not to love? You guys must have some problems and challenges. I mean, what's the biggest challenge you guys run into? I know it sounds like before you were having trouble getting discovered by commercial real estate developers and brokers and stuff, but
yeah.
Like now we know who you are, what you bring, but it can't be all perfect.
No, it is. There's no challenges. It's all roses.
It's sunshine. It is. It's pretty darn good. I got to say.
Don't have a high crime?
Low crime rates. We got this real-time information center our police department has. It's got national attention, right? You can't enter into the city without us seeing you. So we got flock cameras at every single entrance. So yes, crime does happen. I'm not saying it doesn't, but we catch them. Our police department is fantastic. We catch them. And so, you know,
Can I add to that? I mean, it starts with great chiefs. We've had a series of great chiefs.
Yeah, we have.
But our police, our community trusts our police. Think about that in this day and age.
Yeah.
Our community, we're not defunding police, we're funding police. Our community trusts our police, and that trust is reciprocal.
Another foundation, right?
Education, police, and crime and safety, continuity of leadership. We haven't even talked about our finances. We should talk about our finances.
Yeah, okay, so in terms of, like, you guys have a great tax base and that, so from a financial sustainability and opportunity seeking, you guys have money.
Continuity leadership, where we were fiscally sound and good stewards of the money. So we've always had 30% reserves in our budgets.
Wow.
We've always kept our pensions funded. So we're 85, you know, fluctuates, but 85-90% funded of all our pension. So low pension liability. We had a consultant model when we first incorporated, and we slowly transitioned into a hybrid and more city staff now because of a study we did. But again, we did it very methodically and not, you know, just over, snap our fingers and everybody's a city employee now. We, you know, we took our time with it. Again, good fiscal stewardship. And again, credit all the people before me, but we've kept that continuity going forward. And it's put us in this position to lend money out to small businesses. Yeah. It put us in a position where the community trusted us. And so when we went out and asked for a 1 cent sales tax measure, even if we had those reserved, we explained to them, hey, yes, we're okay here, but going forward, we see headwinds, right? We knew homelessness was on the rise. We see opportunities that, that we can do, whether it's the zoo or other economic development projects. And the community trusted us. They entrusted us with that. And we take that very seriously. But it is a testament to, you know, having this over time, building that trust.
How do you guys rank? As I've talked to the Rockland people, the mayor, I was just hanging out with the mayor of Rockland and Cabo the other day, and they claim to be really fiscally sound as well. Is there, are there rankings for this sort of stuff?
I mean,
sounds like you guys are great, but yeah, how do you compare?
I think Rockland actually is probably pretty fiscally sound, yeah, as are we.
And actually there are rankings. I've seen it, but it's a combination of things, right? Pension's one of them. Right. Your debt service is another. I mean, so there are rankings. I don't know what the ranking is for us per se.
Well, let's say first.
Yeah.
Just for purposes
probably
of this.
Probably number one. It sounds like you're number one.
The other thing I would add to it is, okay, what's your expenditures, right? A lot of folks are struggling with road maintenance, and we have the highest pavement condition index, PCI, in the region. Why? Because our previous city manager and current city manager had the foresight to make sure there was new development. There was a component that ensured street maintenance. So that took a little bit less load off of the city in general. Right. And then we're able to, again, supplement and make sure that our roads are well maintained. There is an advantage. We're a newer city. We have started off with newer roads, but we have the means to continue that road maintenance.
You guys have your own like utilities for like electrical and stuff, or do you guys use SMUD?
We use SMUD.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay. SMUD, yeah. So I'm sure there's questions I haven't asked you. So, you know, only a few minutes left. Maybe what did I not ask you that I should have asked you? And then maybe we can wrap up with sort of the vision of the future for Elk Grove.
Well, if you want me to start. Okay. So couple quick things. We did a private partnership when we couldn't get our folks in our old town to want to invest in their property. We bought the property ourselves. We developed it. We partnered with DNS Development, and we you know, that's where Dust Bowl Brewing is. And Slow and Low, you might have heard about that one. But the idea or the concept was
the lowbrow guy?
Yeah. And that's it's retooling right now, right? He's bringing in Matt
Chef Matt Horn from the Bay
Horn,
Area.
Yeah, Matt Horn. Oh,
wow. Very renowned barbecue chef is going to reopen that.
Yeah. So my point is we've taken the monies that we've had from our taxpayers and we're taking a chance, but we're putting our money where our mouth is to encourage that economic development. So my point is, if you're a business enterprise and you're looking to set up town, bet on our city, because we already have, right? We'll bet on that, our city all day long. And the growth that Daryl, I mean, the small business owners, when, you know, entrepreneurs will support that if you come to town, whether it's housing or public safety, as city assistants, we're there to work with you.
Yeah. And a shout out to one of the Growth Factory companies, portfolio companies, Edge, used to be called iRate.
Oh, yeah.
They were one of your early investments, if you will.
Yeah.
And
fantastic.
I know you have more of that. I think there's probably more of those that I'm not thinking of.
Edge was
my
four
head.
Guys in a garage when we gave them some of their first investment capital. There's 60 employees now and 10,000 square feet.
That's awesome.
Great story.
You know, great. And we've got a number of great stories like that.
Very cool. Okay. So any other questions I didn't ask? And maybe let's wrap up with some kind of vision of the future.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think, and Darren touched on it a little bit. We are willing to take some chances on helping companies, and that engenders loyalty and they stay. And we only need to be, you know, we're trying to be right all the time, but if we're really right a couple of times, then we get these large anchor kinds of corporations that can anchor this region's economy for decades. So we're very big in that sort of technology innovation space. We want to be an innovative suburban economy. And a lot of times that's not thought of in the same breath, but we're very focused on that. we're in the real estate development business, and Darren touched on that. And a lot of cities aren't willing to do that, right? We're willing to go in and identify a piece of property or a building that has been neglected and buy that building affordably and then re-envision what that should look like and spin it out to a private developer. We're in that business, and not a lot of cities are in that business.
Are those buildings potentially, are those office buildings where people aren't going back to the office, or is this like an older building?
Well, like in the case of our historic downtown, which is sometimes called Old Town, but I don't like Old Town, so I call it historic downtown or historic Main Street. Still working on the name. But in the case of there, right, you just had two historic old railroad depot buildings that were just falling down. And the property owner was not doing anything with them, and they were an eyesore. It was a blighted condition. And we thought, man, this could be a great downtown environment if we just brought in a few more restaurants, a few more watering holes, a little more boutique retail, really focused on what's the right mix for this historic downtown. And we thought, let's lead by example. We had the wherewithal because of our good fiscal stewardship, and we had the vision of the city manager at the time and our current city manager to just, you know what, let's go out and buy those properties. And we're not in the development
and
business.
And you bought them, and you didn't have a, all you had was a concept. You didn't have contracts with people. You're like, I'm going to be speculative on this.
That's right. Yeah. We were speculative in a sense, not for profit motive, because again, we're, municipal corporations are nonprofits, but
you're going to drive the tax base if you got money.
We brought in these great partners called DNS Development, and they took the building. You know, we agreed on a vision and a plan, and we helped through a very favorable mortgage and some incentives, and it was a true public private partnership. And if you go to Railroad Street and Elk Grove Boulevard in historic downtown Elk Grove, you will see a neighborhood that did not exist there. It's two restaurants in these refurbished, historically restored buildings, and then these urban style apartments that were built in between them. And then we built a new road and a downtown plaza and 200 parking spaces. And we built a neighborhood. You stand down there, and it's like, that's what economic development
makes me want to go down there.
You should
really go.
We'll invite you to the grand opening of the next restaurant that's going in.
That would be great.
Down there, it's called Horn Barbecue. We're very excited about that. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a little microcosm of what economic development can do. When the private market is not driving the kind of investment to your community that you deserve, and you know your value, and it's not being delivered. That's what economic development does. We intercede in the private market and try to convene the interests of the public sector and the private sector and provide a little bit of stimulus, and you can accomplish great things. We're going to do it with Project Elevate. We're doing it with the zoo.
Well, and creative economy.
Talk about that, Darren. That's our next big initiative.
Yeah, because you're asking where we're going, right? And so we started this thing about investing in the arts. So I want to give a shout out to my friend and former colleagues, now supervisor Pat Hume. You know, we're big on like, okay, how do we encourage more art in the community? Mm-hmm. And so we applied like a portion of the construction costs for public projects towards art. So that was like kind of the first thing we did as a city council as a policy, right? So we got this cool art going. But we want to take it a step further now and do this creative economy. So if you remember, City of Sacramento had the Second Saturdays, people coming downtown, you know, you have this art and encourage you to come downtown and try the restaurants. Mm-hmm. Similarly, you know, we want to do something that in that fashion is promoting the arts, but also making it an economic driver for our city. And so that's just a recent thing that we started going down the path of.
Well, I really appreciate too you guys coming on the show for sure. But the saying "rising tide lifts all ships." That's overused, but I mean your collaborative sort of approach to the region. You know, you're talking about GSAC, you're talking about these other cities that you work with and you respect, and it's like it's not. And you're not an isolationist sort of approach to this. And I think the fact that you are doing so well, I mean, it's great for all of us other towns around you. So I just want to say thanks for that, I guess, philosophy. That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mark. We appreciate being here. And I agree with you. It's funny you mentioned that regionalism, because coincidentally, I'm the chair of SACOG, the Sacramento Council of Governments. My vice chair is Councilmember Jill Gallardo of Rockland. Oh. So I love her.
One of my best friends. Yes,
she's awesome. And we work so well together, right? And there's all these great threads and ties when we're on that board together. It's all the 6 county and 22 city region, right? So
that's right.
We all have these great strengths around this whole region. And it all of us individually and collectively, it makes us better together. So I think rising tides lifts all boats is a great
state. Yeah, cities can't afford to be myopic or provincial, right? Yeah. We can't be everything to every business, but this region can be everything to every business. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work in Elk Grove, I'm going to pick up the phone and call my colleagues in Roseville or Rancho mm-hmm. Cordova or Folsom or wherever. And I think that's an important philosophy we all need to embrace.
I agree. And that's what we're working on with this Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world. We're focused on entrepreneurship and venture capital, but it all, our partners are people like you guys, government agencies and, other government agencies, other business, larger businesses. So if we all work together, it makes it so much more possible to create an advantage.
Yeah. And shout out to you, Mark.
I mean,
you're absolutely. Sort of a living embodiment of, a guy who started some things and created some wealth, and now you're giving it back. And we have Haney Biz and we have Growth Factory and the work that Monique is doing. I mean, you guys really are. I wish you were closer to Elk Grove, but we love coming up here. You guys really are a driving force. You're creating that Backyard Advantage, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, thank we you. Appreciate you letting us be a part of your highlight of all the cities in the region.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, thank you. I think you are the highlight. The next one will be GSAC, but this is, sometimes you got to save the best
for
last.
Shout out to GSAC,
right? So, all right, thanks for coming on the show, guys.
You bet. Appreciate it. Thanks, Mark.
You bet. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the Backyard Advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting a good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.